It's the Shiny Squirrel Podcast, the Nerdlings. I am WC Chronicles, Senior Nerdling.
And I'm Jersey Mike, Junior Nerdling.
And we are on our first field trip outside of our regular recording studio, which is usually in the shadow of the Palms Casino. We have come down to Fremont Street and have found a really unique individual. And I actually just stumbled onto it by mistake because his advertising outside, he has a mural painting of Optimus Prime, which I took advantage of for our robot episode. And so I'm just going to let this gentleman introduce himself because he's got a background and I feel like I'm in Church of Toys.
Well, I'm Johnny Jimenez. I'm the owner of Toy Shack right here on downtown Fremont Street. And I'm the expert you see occasionally on the Pawn Stars show on the History Channel.
How many times have you been on Pawn Stars?
Quite a few times. We've been on the show since the beginning. And anytime Rick needs an appraisal on something, we run over there and help him out.
Do you actually close up shop? And if Rick says, come on over, we have something, that's it, shut down, and we go over there?
It used to be that. In the early days, when it was just me and my daughter at the toy store, we'd whatever customers were in the store, they'd jump in my car, and we'd run down to Rick's and give them an appraisal, and then come back and open the store an hour later.
So now, you're on the show, it looks like they keep you all hiding in the back of the warehouse area. Is that the way that works?
It's very important for the producers to keep us away from the seller. So usually the seller will come on and then they'll say, hey, Johnny, we're ready for you. Because, I'm only 5 minutes away. So when they say they need us, we run over there. And sometimes we get there a little sooner than they're ready for us.
Well, but I got one question for you, Johnny. What is the most unique but yet craziest toy you've ever had to just come across and shocked you out of wow, I can't believe I'm actually seeing this and I'm holding it?
Well, for me, it had to be the $100,000 Hot Wheel. And Bruce Pascal brought it in to Rick Harrison.
That was that pink?
Yeah, the pink rear loader beach bomb.
I saw that episode.
Yeah, years ago, I went to the Peterson Auto Museum, and I went to worship it over there at the car museum. And it was behind an acrylic case, and there was guards and all that stuff.
That's the auto museum that's in the casino, trying to remember.
I think in La Brea. Okay. Somewhere in that area in Southern California.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went over there to see that many years ago.
Goodness, you missed the tar pits.
Yeah, definitely. But, it was so much fun filming that. I mean, I couldn't believe that I was actually there to hold it and be the person to appraise that. I mean, it was a dream come true for me.
You're saying that makes me think of The Simpsons when there was the Venus de Milo gummy.
right? Yeah, I love The Simpsons.
But to go on that show and to have something like that, that's I guess the holy grail of all toys, huh? That must have been something.
Well, in the Hot Wheels world, definitely. I mean, it was unheard of when it did come to market. I mean, there's so many higher end toys and other, different categories, but in the Hot Wheels world, that definitely is the holy grail of the Hot Wheel collecting world.
So we got the new Force Awakens. How has that affected has the toy Star Wars market reawakened?
Yeah, it definitely has. The vintage stuff now is fetching a high premium. And then every time you see a new movie, especially when it's a good movie, there's so many new collectors that are born, and then it just drives the value up for the older stuff.
It makes me wonder, Johnny, do you think it's a lot of these parents want their kids to do that, or it's just their inner kids coming out, not that they have more money, they can afford it, they just want it all?
Well, I think too, me being a father, it's our opportunity to relive our own childhood. Sometimes, mom said you couldn't have this or have that. And now we, kind of say, hey, my son's going to have it all.
Or really, are you going to have it all? Yeah. You can't play with that. Just one little one.
Yeah. It's kind of both of that, I think,
That's kind of our mission statement here on the Nerdlings Podcast, is reliving and talking about the stuff that we grew up with again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the best thing. I mean, you can be have a new generation of Star Wars collectors and Star Wars kids, and now we got a new trilogy for them to grow up with, and it's awesome.
Wow, right behind me at Johnny's Toy Shack, I'm looking at a case. It's just unbelievable of actually still in the box.
MIB, mint in box.
Yes, it's just amazing. Star Wars, Return of the Jedi. Can you explain to us a little about this stuff? I'm like, wow.
Well, what we have in the case here, you see a lot of Power of the Force figures, some Return of the Jedi. We had a lot of 12 backs that we brought out when the movie was released, but a lot of that has disappeared. But of course, it's always, usually when it comes to toy lines, it's usually the very first stuff is that fetches the premium and the stuff at the end. So Power of the Force was like towards the end of the run when the demand wasn't so high, and they didn't make that very many of those. And if, as you see, a lot of those blisters turn yellow, and usually the clear ones, I mean, you can get almost anything for those.
Now, what are these coins that we see, these medallions, in a few of the sealed packets of the action figures?
Yeah, all the Power of the Force line came with those coins inside of the package. And those are, I mean, that whole line, I mean, there's some high-end figures that, and probably some of my favorite characters came out in the Power of the Force line.
Now, do you find being downtown in Las Vegas on Fremont Street, do you think there's more excitement because it's older Las Vegas? I mean, you get people here like are just like, wow, they run into you and they're just like, wow, this is Johnny from, you know, does the Porn Stars appraisals. He's got a toy shack. I mean, you guys, like, downtown has like a new arts renovation and everything, and it's just like,
it's like, it's an
just,
art nouveau.
Yeah, it's just like a flavor. You know, it's just like a flavor in the air. You can just taste something completely new.
It really is. I mean, I don't think there's any other place I'd rather be than right here on Fremont Street. I mean, the whole nostalgic of just being in the heart of downtown here. I mean, we're right on Las Vegas Boulevard and Fremont Street.
I mean, you are kind of, I have to say, you are a reason that would be a point of start to declare Fremont Street family friendly again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we came here 6 years ago before Denny's, before Heart Attack Grill, before East Fremont was going on. And, you know, we've kind of seen so much happen in the last few years. And we, you know, a lot of people thought I was crazy when I said, I'm going to Neonopolis and I'm going to open up a toy store there. And everybody thought, you know, what's wrong with you? But it's been great, you know, and it works. And the customers that come in, we stay open till midnight in the weekends.
Wow.
And we get some great clientele right here on Fremont Street.
So I got a question. In this case, there's the plates down here. Is that the Franklin plate collection, or how does that work?
Well, Franklin, they did a lot of, of course, for Star Trek and Star Wars, they did a lot of that stuff. And then also the pewter. And then they even had the chess game that they did for Star Trek. Uh-huh. But I definitely like a lot of the older stuff. Is if you walk over here, we got a lot of the box vehicles.
Let's go ahead and walk over to this part of the store, because the store is very collective all around.
20 foot by 50 feet full of Star Wars everything.
Yeah,
I mean, holy smokes, you got the original box Millennium Falcon. You have, oh my gosh, you have Darth Vader. I mean, look at this. You have Han Solo, The Return of the Jedi. I mean, Johnny, how did you come up with such a collection of this? This is incredible.
This comes and goes. I mean, this is just a revolving door of stuff coming into the shop. So
is this merchandise that moves quick?
Yeah, this. I mean, you could probably come here in another 30 to 45 days and this would be all different. Everything would be different. So it just, I mean, we're out in the hunt all over the country, picking up big collections, and we handle large estates, and this is where it ends up.
Now I have a question. Do you guys, because there's also like American Pickers, do you guys ever coincide, like, hey, we have a big collection of this and somebody comes to you? Do you guys like all network and connect?
With a lot of the antique malls, usually they'll give us a call, and you know, if something comes in and it's outside of what they can do, or they don't have the room for it, or the customer for it, you know, usually they'll give us a call and say, "Hey, Johnny," and then usually we'll work something, some terms out with them. Yeah. But we work with a lot of the local antique shops and other, you know, vintage stores, and you know, we help them out, they help us out. Same thing with the pawn shop. I mean, that whole concept that Rick's come up with, where everybody can kind of scratch each other's back, works out really cool.
That's a good concept. A lot of people have kind of lost that. It's like an Americana.
Yeah, yeah, it really has. I mean, even in past businesses, I've always kind of networked with, you know, other stores where we're not in competition, but hey, maybe we can help each other out a little bit.
I mean, you're in Las Vegas. I mean, you never know. You could have somebody come in here wants to sell like a $100,000 car for $5,000 just to go gamble. I mean, this is a really crazy city. You never know.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I've handled some big estates, and it's the same thing. You know, we come up to look at the toys, but then I've had jumpsuits from Elvis Presley and boxing gloves.
Really?
You know, stuff that, you know, was actually used in fights. It's pretty neat. Wow. You know, I've had some big estates that we've handled, and, you know, it's just kind of the gateway into the house sometimes. People invite you for the toys, but there's a lot of other cool stuff there that's very unique.
Now, are you a clicks and bricks operation? Do you sell stuff on the internet as well?
At this point in time, we don't do the internet only because... and it's sad because we have a presence all over the world. So people, the show's in 70 different countries, and we get people that from Brazil or, like, you know, small countries I've never even heard of that watch Pawn Stars, you know. And in India, they don't even have pawn shops, but they relate to the show, and it's very big over there. So why? I don't know why, but everybody can relate to it somehow. But, you know, we get all these people coming in, and the sad thing is I don't want to take away from the store. I don't want to put my good stuff online, and then you come to the store and you say, where's everything at, you know? So I love it when people can come in and see all these unique items when they walk in.
This is a classic toy store from the 70s, 80s, and up to date, but the older stuff here, it just makes you want to just camp out, order a pizza, and open up the boxes and just stay here all night long.
Now, I'm noticing behind me here, we got some old school lunch boxes.
Yeah, we got a ton of those. I mean, the big value on those, of course, is having the thermos and then having all the paint corners in great condition. But you'll see some cool ones. I mean, Knight Rider.
Family Knight Rider. I mean, oh my God, Sesame Street. Wow. And then on the other side, I saw...
we got monsters, Evil Knievel.
Oh my gosh.
All the good stuff.
What don't you guys have here?
What is this, the evil Burger King guy up here? What is that?
Yeah, that's just the old classic. I mean, understand that came out when McDonald's, remember they were doing the play sets, and that's back when, remember, it was cool to have your birthday at McDonald's.
How old is that toy?
That's probably like late 70s.
I didn't know the Burger King, that king face creature has been around that long. I say that in a nice way.
Yeah.
Look what else I spotted up here. Luke Skywalker's X-Wing fighter. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That is incredible. The wall of toys just on Star Wars.
Well, then we move into Star Trek here.
Yeah, Star Trek's still very collectible. I mean, you're either a Star Trek guy or a Star Wars guy. Usually not both, but we have a lot of diehard Trekkies that come into the shop all the time.
So when the new Star Trek movie comes out, you'll see a bump in Star Trek toys?
Yeah, definitely. But you know what's so funny is there's, you know, certain, you know, some people just do certain generations of, of that. But, you know, you'll see a huge spike whenever there's any kind of activity going in the Star Trek world. We also have a convention once a year, and that brings a ton of people here to Vegas.
Oh, yes. At the Rio, I believe, right?
Yeah, definitely. It used to be at the Hilton. Remember the whole experience they used to have there?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. You used to go into the urinal. I know this is funny, but let's get to the nerdlings. You take a piss, and what happens is the thing just goes like, you're looking, what the hell is this? And it's actually like it does some kind of weird thing in the urinal. It's crazy.
Yeah, there was an actual Star Trek bar and everything right there at the Hilton. I mean, it was so cool. And I'm so sad that's not here in Vegas anymore.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool.
But as you go through this shop, I mean, we kind of transition over to Mask, Transformers. You'll see all the Gen 1 stuff there. A lot of box stuff, loose stuff. We got the G.I. Joe, the aircraft carrier. Do you guys remember that?
I remember that.
Yes. Go
for it. All right, now, is this a Voltron I see right here?
No, that's Fortress Maximus. So that's probably one of the largest Transformer that came out.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, the aircraft carrier. I mean, that was 7.5 feet long.
Yeah, we used to sell them at our toy store, and you only got, like you said, one or two, and people, it was a waiting list, like with Teddy Ruxpin those years, and Grubby. Yeah. It was forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they'll never make a toy that big.
What does the price tag on the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier go for?
That's $2,000 in the box, and it also has the shipping box, and that box is beautiful.
Wow. Really?
Not a bad price on that. But, you know, the aircraft carrier, it's really sought after with collectors. That's like the... I mean, if you collect G.I. Joe, I mean, that's the piece to have. But the thing about that, though, you find... you actually find them in relatively good condition when you can find them, you know, when people have them in their house. Because what I think is the son would set it up, right, and it probably took up half of his room or half of the living room. And mom just probably said, get that out of here. And it went in the garage, and that's where it stayed until we find them.
Do you find a lot of them with, like, the little pieces missing?
Yeah. In the vintage world, it's the pieces were that's all the money. It's all the weapons and the little parts. And I used to hate that sound, and it still bothers me. But I could hear the sound of my sister vacuuming and all the little weapons going up. I could hear that from like the back of the house, and I would run and I'd pull the vacuum bag out and I'd pull out all my little Star Wars figures, weapons, and all
tyranny,
my G.I. Joe.
The tyranny of the sound of like Legos going up a vacuum.
Yeah. It's a distinct sound, and it still bothers me to this day.
Johnny, part of your unique thing too, look at this, Nerdling Senior. They have an actual Mr. T combat attack set.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And we also have, if you look on this other side, there's like a Mr. T sprinkler head.
Oh,
and
Mr.
some
T
other. And then if you look over here, some of the dolls. So we got like, you know, Sonny and Cher. And then we have...
Is that a
Donnie and Marie there?
And that's an original Atari video game system, ladies and gentlemen and young nerdlings.
Here,
wow.
Let me move over here.
Yeah, the Atari video set, that was from a promotion they did for McDonald's. I think it was 83, 84. And they did a scratcher, and you'd win one of those. So somebody won that and then never opened it and then sold it to us here. But that's a sealed box, and we have the box it came in, and it's in beautiful condition.
What was your favorite Atari 2600 game?
Even though the E.T. game was pretty stupid,
yeah.
I liked it. I was just a big fan of the movie, and I was so excited when I got it. I mean, everybody was so disappointed when that game came out.
Yes.
But it just never ended. It was just like, I mean, it's considered to be the worst game ever.
Now, they just made a big discovery in a dump down in Arizona, is that correct, of the E.T. game?
Like New Mexico?
So,
yeah, New Mexico. They found... let me tell you the story the funny thing is, we were going to film with one of those. A guy brought one into the pawn shop. And the thing is you got to cure that stuff. Because my dad was a garbage man. And that's how I got into toys. He'd had a lot of seniors in his route, and he'd bring me boxes of toys from like the 40s and 50s. But I knew enough then to, that they weren't toys to be played with, and mm-hmm. I'd sell them to dealers at the antique malls. And I remember the first time I made $800, I wasn't
even... How old were you when you started?
I wasn't even 10 years old.
And my gosh!
So I got into that, but when those Atari games came into the pawn shop, it's so funny. I was excited, and we're getting ready to film, but the guy didn't cure them, and they were he kept the fresh... landfill smell in a Ziploc bag.
Oh my God!
Wow. So when he opened it up, Rick almost threw up few times.
Wow.
And we never filmed that scene. But I said, Rick, come on, let's still do it. Let's just keep it in the Ziploc bag. But no, we ended up canceling the scene.
Oh, wow.
But that would have been a really fun episode. It's such a cool story, and everybody thought it was just a story, and then one day some
folklore.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Wow. But and what was discovered is all these other games in it, but like I said, they say that the E.T. game is what crashed the market, but it probably was the
it was a changing point.
Yeah, it definitely was.
It was a bad game, but at the same time you look back on it with fond memories.
Yeah, they just felt like, you put anything in an Atari box and then consumers will just buy it. But,
I have a question for you. Do people ask you who came up with the eye concept of having a bald head, you or Rick? Or is it just kind of a fashion statement? I'm just curious, because it's like, I'm just like looking like, wow, I'm waiting for Rick to come out or something. I'm like, hey, now, wait a second now, it's like, holy smokes.
I don't know if Rick had the same problem I had, but the whole reason I started the bald head thing was it's really hard to find a good barber in Vegas. And I remember I was about to go on a date with a girl, and I got this really crappy haircut, and I just decided to shave my head. I said,
I'll tell you what, not to cut you off, you guys started a style again, and it's cool and chic to have a bald head.
You did start it.
Thank you so much.
No, little hair or no hair, low maintenance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love it. I mean, it works for me.
And I have a question for you, Johnny. What is the Great Garlo?
That was a toy from the 60s, but I mean, the size of that, I mean, it was just massive. It had
Is that the green thing next to it?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So those had a control, and but the ones with the wire and everything, so battery operated. I mean, definitely a classic toy from the 60s. But that's when they started to get bigger and bigger, like the Big Lou, and Those things, I mean, a lot of those toys were sold in like grocery stores, and you had these huge big boxes with all of this great artwork. That's why I love those classic boxes. I mean, they look awesome.
They do. Now, this looks like something they would have had like from Eddie Munster and the Munster or something like this. It'd be like one of his little robots when they had some of the episodes. Well, that is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, understand this. I mean, in the 60s era, all the aliens and all that weird stuff was on TV.
Yeah.
So Lost in Space, and you had so many other like movies too that were coming out in that time period, so that was very popular with the kids. And then the whole atomic era, we have from 1950, right next to the Great Garlou, we have the Atomic Energy Lab.
Now we're looking at a red box with yellow lettering on it. Says Atomic Energy Lab,
Gilbert U235 or 8.
It's about the size of a small suitcase.
Yeah, that came out in 1950, so it had uranium and plutonium samples inside of it.
Uranium and plutonium.
Yeah.
Something that nowadays you'd be almost put in one of those,
terrorist list. Exactly.
Terrorist list.
They actually put out toys.
How big of a piece of uranium plutonium?
It's an actual vial of...
Really?
Yeah, and understand this, I'm a little kid. I mean, I had a working Geiger counter, and young kids were handling that with their bare hands and being exposed. I mean, it was... low radiation, but understand if you're exposed to it on the daily and that's in your room and all this other stuff, I mean, it's pretty dangerous.
Mommy, why am I glowing in the dark?
Even we have unique stuff like lawn darts we still carry here at the store.
They were put illegal because kids were throwing them, and then I know the weight, it would hit somebody, could kill the temple, and they would die.
Yeah, they would.
You still have them.
We still sell
them.
A lot of people look for them, and of course we have to warn them that, you know, don't...
Do you have to sign a release form when you sell something like that?
We don't, but, you know, we can't sell it on the internet, but people come in here and request it, and they get excited when we see them. Yeah. But I think people have more... Well, I don't know if they have more common sense now, but...
I don't know about that. Well, there's one I want to move to over here, which I saw on the shelf, is a Big Jim van.
Yeah, that was...
Tell us about that one.
Well, Big Jim was Mattel's answer to their competitor. Hasbro had G.I. Joe. And at the time, in the 70s, a G.I. Joe went from the Army... guy to of course the adventure team, so they were more these outdoorsy characters where they're out hunting and going on adventures, chasing treasures and stuff. So Big Jim was kind of like the same thing. He camped and went fishing and had motorbikes.
I remember he had motorbike, he had like a control panel inside. That's what I remember playing with mine all the time.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And I noticed the Skeletor castle up here from He-Man.
Yeah, we got Snake Mountain and then Castle Grayskull right there. I mean, He-Man line's always pretty big. So we get a lot of those that come in. She-Ra, My Little Pony. Even you see Strawberry Shortcake.
Wow, Strawberry Shortcake.
So all the classic 80s. We have a full corner of Cabbage Patch Kids, and those are still very popular.
Wow. What does a Cabbage Patch Kid go for nowadays?
Unless it's in the box, not that much.
Really?
Yeah, not that much. You know,
they still have their papers with them for, you know, the adoption and all that, and then going to Cabbage Patch School and all that.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, they all have their birth certificates, of course, and we have a whole wall of those. But like I said, we only sell them in the box, and we get quite a few of those from time to time. And then if you look, we got a whole wall of pressed steel trucks.
Yeah, so it's a wall about 12 feet high, folks.
I mean, look at this. You have Tonkas. You have... I mean, Jimmy, what is this? This has got to be in the 50s, this friggin', excuse my French, hook and ladder. These are gorgeous. Number 5 trucks. I mean, nerdlings, this is a paradise for you to come on down and get these for your kids, and you can play with these yourself. I mean, there's a truck and ladder here. Is that from the 50s?
Yeah, that's an early 50s Tonka truck there. And we got Smith & Miller trucks, Buddy L., you name it. We have some Mark stuff here. And then we even got some early from the 1930s. We got some of those up there on the top.
Now, how much money did I miss out on by destroying and not taking care of my big yellow dump truck, like up there on the top?
Yeah. Well, they average anywhere from $200 to upwards of maybe a few thousand dollars sometimes. Wow. But the thing is with the pressed steel trucks, it's not uncommon to find them, but it's uncommon to find them in this condition. So everything we have on the wall, there's no rust, and almost all of those are all original paint there.
What is this beautiful thing called the Fighting Lady? That is like a wow, some kind of big battleship.
What is that?
Yeah, it's original battleship from the 60s, and like I said, they started getting it. Well, understand, a lot of the servicemen were coming back from the war, and you know, kids wanted to play with this kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. they wanted the battleships. They wanted to kind of have that action where they're being like dad. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're seeing it on the TV.
And they want to be like their dad or uncle, or you know, like they have like the television. You know, oh, join the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. You could actually play as a kid with the fighting lady. That is incredible.
So, do we have any General Lee Dukes of Hazzard along here anywhere?
Yeah, and we have the slot car set. We have some of the Meagle figures. We have Daisy Duke's Jeep here in the shop.
Ah, the Dixie.
Oh, yeah. So
you
we
guys
got.
Have the Dixie. Do you guys have Daisy Duke shorts? Do you sell or no, the doll?
No, I wish we did, but in Vegas it gets really hot, and you see those all over town.
Oh, did they ever sell? Did they ever sell Uncle Jesse's pickup truck?
We do get it from time to time.
So it did exist. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we do the model kits too. So we get those from time to time.
They have model kits nowadays. Actually, have model kits. Now wait a second. This is the technology where everybody hits the computer or cell phone. They have models, Johnny. Yeah, I cannot believe this.
Yeah,
we visit the model section.
Yeah, please? let's go to the model section.
Yeah, this is a large toy store, folks.
Wow. Yeah, we do board games. So we still carry a large selection of those. Look at this. And then this,
over here, Jersey Mike.
Candyland, Creepy Crawlers, you have Intercept, you have G.I. Joe, you have Barney Miller, you have Uncle Wiggly.
Miller had a game.
Everybody had a game.
Operation, you have Hot Potato, Mr. Potato Head, come on down to Johnny's Toy Shack. This place is awesome.
This is not a shack. This is a church.
There goes the Mad magazines.
We've got some. Oh my gosh.
Those are classic. Wow. I love those.
Who didn't grow up on Mad magazines?
Yeah, he kind of raised us.
All right, so back to the General Lee. Where is that at?
Here we go. Well, these are the old model kits. And
oh my gosh.
What kid asks for those nowadays? Not too many kids really know about these.
That's why I thought your store was at first from the outside until I came in.
Yeah, we do a lot of the vintage model kits, the old AMTs and some of the Auroras. We get those in quite a bit. But, you know, like I said, kids nowadays, I mean, they don't really...
Let's step away from Zoltar, because there's a Zoltar in the back, and he's talking to us. All right, go ahead.
But, yeah, a lot of kids nowadays don't really know what these are, but nothing like, I mean, going home and painting, putting the decals on and putting these together. I mean, I remember I'd spend, like, you know, a good 4 or 5 weeks building one model kit.
I could imagine. Let me tell you, you got some awesome stuff here. Are these from like the 50s, 60s? This is a very incredible collection.
Most of this stuff's from the 50s up through the 80s here.
So is it adults who are coming in to purchase these, or kids, teenagers, or?
What's funny is when I tell friends I own a toy store, usually they think little kids running around, but honestly, our customers 25 men, 25 up through like 50 or 60, and those are the guys who are buying these model kits. A lot of times, it's a car they remember, or they remember wanting that kit as a kid. Oh, and usually, wow. Those are the guys picking.
That's
this
your average
kind of stuff.
Nerdling age.
Yeah, definitely.
Johnny, I have another question. Besides the porn star guys, who is your famous customer that has come in to buy something that's caught you off guard?
We've shut this store down for quite a few people, but.
Michael Jackson ever come in?
No, I wish. It'd be cool to meet that guy. But
cool now if you could dig him up.
Yeah, I know. No, you know, that's one of the concerts I regret not going to. I went to Cyndi Lauper as a kid, and we went to a lot of the other, we went to Janet Jackson and a bunch of those, but never went to a Michael Jackson concert. But no, we've Adam Sandler, when he was downtown filming, he came down, and then we've had a lot of other you know, they'll send kind of their assistants.
Yeah.
And they'll come in and we'll shut the store down for them.
Really? But that's got to be really awesome. How do you feel like that you're part of Porn Stars and you're like, how do you say, like, let's just actually say it, you're a toy icon. You are part of downtown Las Vegas. You are a tourist landmark attraction.
You are. Yeah. You are a living, breathing landmark.
It feels amazing. People, I love it when people come in and they're not disappointed when they come in, and that's what makes me happy. When people come to the store, and they're overwhelmed with the merchandise and everything. It doesn't look like a thrift store. It's really everything's in its own category, in its own place. That makes me very happy, you know. And a lot of people, what I love is we have a great selection of girl stuff. So you know,
yes.
So a lot of times too, with the. It's usually the husband's coming in here, but when the wife comes and she sees, you know, she's not here for her, but when she sees some stuff that she can remember, it's a great visit for both of them. It makes me really happy.
So has there ever been an item that you're making a purchase of a store and you go, I need to buy two of those, one for me, one for the store? What would that be?
I'm an 80s kid. I really grew up with the cartoon. So whenever they're re-releasing a lot of cool stuff with Mattel, like the Voltron, and they're doing a lot of the, you know, re-release of the masterpiece Transformers, that kind of stuff gets me really excited. So I'm usually buying two of those. And in my personal collection, I'm kind of all over the place. So I do a lot of different decades, but my 80s stuff is probably what I pick up the most.
Wow. What is your prized possession, honestly, from your 80s collection? You got to have one shining bright star under the Christmas tree type of ba-bang toy that really shoots it for you.
Your Ambrosia.
Well, I've got prototype stuff. I got storyboards from the original, you know, like Return of the Jedi, then some of that kind of stuff from those movies. And then, you know, some of the props too that I've picked up over the years. And you meet these cool guys in Hollywood, and you know, they got this stuff laying around. So that stuff really gets me excited. Wow. And then over here, if you see, I don't know if you grew up in the 60s, but we have a lot of the red line Hot Wheels here.
Oh my gosh, this is rare stuff, everybody. Holy smokes. Now, Johnny, look at the detail on this stuff.
Now some of these I noticed I played with in the sand and just destroyed. What's a common value for like something for a car like this?
Usually Hot Wheels, I would say an average value of probably $50 to $150 in this condition. You know, if they're rough and kind of, you know, toned and the condition of them are chipped up. Usually it's maybe $5 to $10.
If I only knew then now.
Exactly. And then if you come over here, you'll see, if you remember, Rick picked up a collection of Matchbox for $20,000.
Yes.
So that's what's in this case here. So we have what's left over of the Matchbox car. So a lot of this stuff's here from like the 50s and 60s. Wow. And then those are original package Hot Wheels from the late 60s there.
Wow. So how does that work? Do you get them off of him from a commission? Or does he put them on consignment? Or you don't mind me asking.
Usually the way Rick does it is he kind of likes the stuff that's just one or two items and he could just put a price tag and put it out. Mm-hmm. But when he picked up that collection, it was just so many items that he sold off part of it, and then the rest of it, he say, Johnny, just take this and whatever I'm in it. And then he made us a great deal, and we've had it here at the shop.
Oh, that's great. Now, see, that's just not just fame. It brings in people. I mean, this is stuff that is packaged from the 50s. I mean, look at this. You actually have a Hot Wheels Mattel. Looks like their own little symbols or coins that come with it.
Yeah, they had a button, and the Hot Wheels came out in 68, and then they had these cool buttons that little kids would put either on their pocket, or you know, they'd put them in the case next to the cars.
So how long will something like these stay on the shelf before they fly out the door?
We got this collection in. I paid $8,000 for the collection. A lady had it, and I think her dad given it to her for you know, when she was a young girl. And then her son over the years was playing, opening these original cars and playing with them. And then one day she brought him in, and we ended up paying $8,000 for a box of packaged red lines and original Hot Wheels.
Son, you're playing with your college tuition there.
Exactly. But, you know, that kind of stuff just walks in through the door every once in a while. But, we pick up a lot of the higher-end stuff, and we're out in the hunt everywhere all over the country looking for this.
Now, do you see with the economy, people are being forced to sell off their stuff because they thought they were going to be able to keep it. Now that things are moving and they, you know, like you hear Rick say, things are sitting in the store, you know, somebody will come in, like say with a toy that you appraise, and he'll say, well, the guy said, I want 5,000. Rick says, I'll give you 1,000. Then he says, well, you know, you don't have a pawn shop where you have to pay for overhead and blah, blah, blah. The people think they want to get full value from you. And you say, listen, I have to run a business. You know, I have to make something and make money, my time, you know, my name and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's made it harder to buy stuff since the show, because now everybody's like, well, what is, I can't even go to a yard sale because people are like, you know, I ask, what's this? And then they say, well, what is it worth? You know, and it's kind of hard for me to buy to buy anything nowadays. But outside of that, though, it's people do kind of ask a lot more than what it is generally. Every once in a while, you'll get a guy that just easy to deal with and saying, hey, you know, I want X amount for the whole group. Usually whenever we go to buy something, it's usually everything or nothing. You know, we don't like to cherry pick.
A lot.
Yeah, exactly.
As they call it.
Yeah, exactly. But overall, I mean, like I said, it's brought the best stuff out, you know, and people a lot of times watching the show and say, yeah, I have that in my garage, and then they'll drive it down, and then usually we'll 80% of the time we'll make a deal.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll tell you, because I'm amazed by that. I sold at a yard sale just to get rid of it, an original Pee Wee Herman in the box. When you pulled the thing for 10, somebody sold it for 50, but you don't know the value. You do, but by the time you figure you're going to go on YouTube or what do you call that, Craigslist or eBay, try to sell it, takes too long. You have to package it. If I would have known this, I would have flew everything out and come over here and just said, here.
Yeah, exactly. We do that all the time. Wow. So we advertise that we're looking for the older stuff. And I do Lionel trains, and then we do old cast iron. And as you've seen, right now, what's hot is the 60s and the 80s boys' toys. And the boys' toys, I mean, because us guys never grow up.
You know? Right. That's why we're here.
Exactly. And the thing is, the girls' stuff does sell, but it has to be in top condition. And usually it sits around a little longer in the store, technically.
Do you guys work with the Barbies? Because I heard you have to have, like, the original mint box and clothes and everything, but I imagine you guys must come through a ton of that stuff too, right?
We get some rare stuff coming in the Barbie collector world, but it, like you said, it has to be in top condition as far in, for the lady collector. They want it perfect.
Gotta have it perfect. Yeah. What did the whole Dukes of Hazzard, General Lee, Confederate flag on the car do to the toy market? Because when I first heard that they were going to discontinue or stop that, I'm like, hey, you're messing with my 10-year-old childhood. Leave it alone. Back off.
I know, right? Yeah, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. I mean, I've never watched a Dukes of Hazzard episode and was offended in any way.
Me neither.
You know, and the toys, I mean, everybody that bought it didn't, I mean, everybody bought it for the love of the show, and they related to it, and it was nostalgic. It had nothing to do with any other reason, and there was no political thing behind
we
it.
Were 10 years old. Yeah. All we cared about was Daisy Duke.
This is when television was fun, and you went to school the next day, and you see the General Lee jump that ravine. Boss Hogg's car broke down. You know what I'm saying? They wound up at the boar's nest. Everybody was happy, right, Johnny?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, definitely the times were more innocent back then, for sure. And like I said, I miss those old shows, Family Ties and Silver Spoons and all that kind of stuff. It was really cool.
Well, this has been more than exciting to come down here and to talk to you, Johnny, I have to say. Go ahead and tell our listeners where to find you at down here.
Well, if you come to downtown, we're just below the Experience, right next to the Zip Line right here, the Slotzilla, 450 Fremont Street. We're open 365 days out of the year. So anytime you come to Vegas, we'll be open, and you can come relive your childhood. Or if you do have some toys you want to get rid of, definitely bring it in, and you can meet me here, and we can give you some cash for your toys.
Do you have a website or a phone number you want to give out?
Phone number is 702-538-8600.
You heard it here, folks. This has been more than exciting. Anything you want to say, Jersey Mike?
Just want to say, here's Johnny.
You couldn't resist, could you? Yeah, I would say I would love if we could make, because, I mean, this, if you got merchandise coming and going all the time, I would love to have you back on our Nerdlings podcast, like every 3 months or so. Would that be doable?
Yeah, let me know. I'd love to do it.
Okay, this would be fun. I appreciate this.
Johnny, it was a pleasure meeting you. I feel like I'm touching, like, the hand that appraised. I actually did touch the hand that praised for the, you know, the guys at the porn star, the old man and Rick. I'm just like, wow. Doesn't get more better than this.
Well, thanks for coming, and it was nice chatting with you guys, and look forward to doing it again.
I love this. Thank you so much, Johnny. Pleasure.
Thank you.